If you still have your Bibles open, I'm going to read a few more verses from the story of Naaman, starting in verse 4. His little slave girl had mentioned that she wished her master was with the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel with me." And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be cleaned?" So he turned and went away in rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Wonderful, wonderful story. Story that we've taught on and preached on many, many times. But there's a lot of truth in this story. True story. It's a true story. I mean, it's not a made-up story. It's not a parable. It's an actual event in the life of Elisha and the life of Naaman. And there's a lot of truth in it. And I just want to pick out some of those truths this morning and remind you of them. First of all, I want to talk to you about Naaman. We meet him in verse 1. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Bible says he was a great man with his master, so the king thought very highly of him. He was honorable. He was honest. Did what he said. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man in valor. In other words, he was a warrior. He was a brave warrior. He would lead his men into the battle. He'd pick up a sword and fight himself. He just wouldn't direct them. And he was blessed in that he won a lot of victory. But notice the last phrase of verse 1. But he was a leper. There's some wonderful things said about Naaman in verse 1. Captain, great man, honorable, a mighty man. But the "but" at the end of the verse is bigger than all the nice things said about him in the verse. He was a leper. There's leprosy in the world today. It's not as prevalent as it was in the day of Naaman and the day of Israel. The Bible talks about leprosy. In fact, there's several chapters of the law of Moses that are devoted to the sickness of leprosy. It would start with a little spot underneath your skin. And if you got that, you had to go to the priest and show yourself. The priest would shut you up 7 days. He'd call you back at the end of 7 days. If it was gone, he'd let you go home. But if it wasn't gone, if it spread, he would shut you up another 7 days and look at you again. And after those 14 days, if he determined you had leprosy, you had to separate yourself from your family and all society. You had to go out and live on the outskirts of the city with the other lepers. You were considered an unclean person. Everything you touched was considered unclean. If you went out where there were other people, you had to hold a rag over your top lip, and you had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning to them. Because leprosy was spread by touch, and you didn't want anybody coming near a leper because the disease could transfer that to that person very easily. So these were the outcasts. I mean, they couldn't spend time with their families. They couldn't be part of society. They lived in this leper colony, and the disease grew progressively worse. It was marked by open sores. It was marked by, you know, your fingers falling off, your toes falling off, pieces of your ear and nose falling off. There was no cure. There was no medicine that you could take. There was absolutely nothing that you could do if you had leprosy other than to suffer the ravaging effects of the disease and then one day die. And when you died, even then, your family could not come near you. It was left to the others in the leper colony, so to speak, to actually have your funeral. No priest would come and say nice things about you. There would be no procession or anything like that. You were actually buried where you'd lived your whole life apart from your family and apart from society. And as a leper, you had no hope. There was nothing that anybody could do. The only thing that's recorded in the Word of God that cured leprosy was a miracle from God. So here was Naaman. He was a captain, but he was a leper. He was a great man, but he had leprosy. He was honorable and a mighty man, but he was a leper. Leprosy in the Bible paints a pretty good picture of sin. You see, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And it doesn't matter what kind of person you are. You could be just like Naaman. You can be an honorable, honest person, always doing exactly what you say you're going to do. You can treat your family good. You can treat your wife and your children good. You could be a respected person in society. You could have a position in society. And all those are good things, but if you are still a sinner, but if your sins have not been forgiven, then you are going to pay the penalty that the Bible ascribes to sin. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how many good things you've done. It doesn't matter your position in the community. It doesn't matter how much honor that people ascribe to you. The wages of sin is death, and there's nothing that you can do to pay what you owe except to die and to be separated from God forever. The only thing that will help a sinner is the only thing that will help a leper. A miracle from God. A miracle from God. In verse 2, we meet a little girl. The Syrians had gone out and they had attacked Samaria, they had attacked Israel, and they had brought captives out of the land. One was a little maid. I don't know how old she was, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. But she was taken away from her home. Taken away from her mother, taken away from her daddy, taken away from everything familiar, taken away from her culture. She was carried away as a slave to serve a heathen lady in a heathen land. Now, I don't know anything about the mistress of the house. I don't know anything about Naaman's wife. I don't know if she was a kind person or an unkind person. It doesn't matter. Just think about what this little girl went through. To be carried away from her home. To be carried away captive from everything she knew to a strange land. If anybody should have said, Naaman's getting exactly what he deserved. Let him go ahead and die. If anybody would want to say this about Naaman. Let his ears fall off. Let his fingers fall off. Let his toes fall off. Let him die a horrible death. Let it be painful. If anybody had the right to say that, it was probably this little girl. I mean, she'd been carried captive. Just think. I mean, think parents. Think about your little kid, 8, 9, 10 years old, your little daughter. Carried away captive. I mean, you'd probably want the same thing to happen to Naaman. He's getting what he deserves. They may say all these nice things about him, the Syrians, but the Jews said, man, he's a terrible man, steals our children, takes them away as slaves. And so if anybody had the right to want revenge, if anybody had the right to want Naaman to suffer, it would be this little girl. But this little girl didn't. She was like Paul. She forgot those things which were behind. She forgave and forgot. And she said, this person, this little girl who had every reason to hate Naaman, she said, I wish he was back at my home. I wish that he was back in Samaria, because there's a prophet there that could heal him of his leprosy. You see, our world today needs more of the spirit of forgiveness that this little girl had. The spirit of forgiveness that would say, regardless of what other people have done to me, I, with the Lord's help, am going to forgive them. We need that forgiveness in the world today. Word got back to the king. Hey, there's this little girl, slave girl from Israel. She says if Naaman was back in her home, there's a prophet of God that could cure him of his leprosy. So the king says, go. Don't, Naaman, go. I'll write a letter. I'll write a letter to the king of Israel and tell him that I'm sending him, you to him, so that he can cure you of your leprosy. Take all this money. Take this gold and these clothes and this silver, and go back and get cured of your leprosy. So Naaman goes. He takes the gold. He takes the silver. He takes the raiment, the changes of clothes. All to give an offering. All to maybe purchase this cure from leprosy. I want to remind you something. This is one of the truths in this story. You and I cannot buy the love of God. We can't buy it. We could have all the silver in the world. We could have all the gold in the world. We could have all that the world thinks is valuable. But I want you to remember something this morning. God doesn't need our money. And there's no way that we can buy his love. If we could, how much would it be worth? How much would the love of God be worth? What kind of price would you put on Jesus going to the cross and dying for your sins? You see, Debbie saying about it a moment ago, I'm the reason. You're the reason. Nobody knows what a sinner I am but me. And nobody knows what a sinner you are but you. And as we think about what Jesus did for us on the cross, what price would you put on it? How much gold would it take? How much silver would it take? How much of the world's valuables would it take to pay God to send his son to die on the cross? And a wicked sinner like me in my place, there is no price that you could put on it. Nothing. I mean, you could gather all the riches of the world together, and it would not come close to paying the price of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Naaman took all this stuff, said, well, I'm ready to pay for my cure. But Elijah, I mean, you know the story. Some of you know the story. Elijah didn't take any of it. I mean, he got cured, but there was no, I mean, his servant went back, Elijah's servant went back and took some of the stuff that Naaman brought and ended up with leprosy himself. But we cannot buy, you cannot buy, none of us can buy the love that God has for us. So Naaman goes to the king of Israel. He gives him this letter from the king of Syria. Hey, I've sent my servant Naaman. I love him. I want you to cure him of his leprosy. The king of Israel got all upset. Who does the king of Syria think that I am? Why would he send this man? Can I give life? Can I take life? Can I cure leprosy? And the Bible says he rent his clothes. He said, the king of Syria is just trying to pick a fight with me. He just wants a reason to attack. Now, Elisha, the man of God, heard what happened. He sent word to the king. Why'd you tear your clothes? Just send them to me. Send them to me, and he'll know that there's a man of God of Israel. So Naaman went to Elisha and stood outside the door. He was the captain of the host of the armies of Syria. Here's what he thought. Elisha will come out. Elisha will hear that I'm here. He will come out. He will call upon the name of his Lord. He will put his hand on me, and he will cure me. What happened? A servant came out and said, Naaman, Elisha says for you to go jump in the Jordan River. Dip yourself 7 times and you'll be clean. Now just imagine, you're the captain of the host of Syria. You're honored by the king. You're loved by your king, an honorable man. And here's this prophet of God, not your God, but a prophet of God, of the God, the prophet of the God, saying, go jump in the river, dip yourself 7 times, and you'll be clean. Bible says he got mad. He got very mad. He got angry. So why should I do that? The river's back home. He mentions a couple of them are clean. And the Jordan River was a dirty, filthy river. I mean, it was dirty. And Naaman says, why should I go jump in the river? The rivers back home are much cleaner. And he was ready. He left. He was ready to go home. You see, what kept him from doing what the man of God said was his pride. I don't need to go jump in that dirty river. If all I got to do is go jump in the river, I can go home. The rivers are cleaner back then. There may be a person here today that your pride will keep you from coming to Jesus Christ. In your pride, you will say, I don't need to do it God's way. I'm not that bad of a sinner. I don't need what everybody else needs because I'm not that bad. I'll do it my own way. And that's what Naaman was saying. I can do it my own way. I'll go jump in the rivers of Syria. I don't need to jump in that old muddy Jordan River. Too many people today, in their pride, say, I can get right with God another way. I can do it my way. I don't need to do it the way the Bible says. I don't need to do it the way that God says. I can decide my own way to get right with God. And they will miss heaven. They will miss the love that God has given them in the form and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will die in their sin and be separated from God forever and spend eternity in hell because they thought they had a better idea than God. I want to tell you something. I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what the experiences in your life have been. You are not smarter than God, and your way of salvation in no way is going to work. You're going to die, and you're going to be gone from God and separated from God forever because Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. Don't think you can come up with a better plan. Pride goeth before the fall, and your pride is going to destroy you. You're going to end up in hell forever. Now, Naaman had a servant. A servant that he loved and a servant that loved him. In fact, the servant called him father. Said, hey, if the prophet of God had asked you to do a great thing, if he'd asked you to gone out and conquered a city, or if he'd asked you to gone out and conquered a people, you would have readily agreed to do that. All he's asking you to do is go dip yourself in the river 7 times. Why can't you do that simple thing? Why can't you just do that simple thing? Why can't you just do what the man of God told you to do? Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. That servant got to Naaman. The Bible says he went to the Jordan River. He didn't understand it. I mean, you go to the Jordan River. It's dirty. It's filthy. You say to yourself, I'm sure it's full of bacteria. Algae and all sorts of other creepy, gooey stuff that's crawling around in the water. Yeah, how am I going to get clean jumping in this dirty river? How is this dirty water going to cure my leprosy? He didn't understand it. He couldn't rationally explain it. It didn't make any sense to him. He said, but the man of God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. The Bible says he dipped himself 7 times in the river. And he came up, and his skin wasn't just like it was before he got leprosy. I mean, it was rejuvenated. I mean, it became like skin of a little child. Fresh, clean, unwrinkled. Ladies, you may want to get some of that. No, I'm just teasing. But, I mean, he came out of that river better than before he was sick. He just simply acted in faith on what the man of God told him to do, and he was cured of his leprosy. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning that you may find hard to believe. It doesn't make sense from a human standpoint. It goes against every way that we have been taught to think. God loves you. Amen. And God sent his son to die in your place. And the only thing that he asks you to do is to believe that and to receive it for yourself. Amen. That's it. Whosoever shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Amen. Your sins will be forgiven. You see, we're wired where we want to do something. We want to perform some act, or we want to pay something, or be something. It doesn't make sense simply to receive it. It goes against what we've been taught. It goes against the way we're wired. I don't have to do nothing except take it. I mean, I don't have to pay a price. There must be something that I have to do in order to get my sins forgiven. And God says, no, it's all been done. Jesus, we talked about it in Sunday school. It's finished. He cried from the cross, it is finished. It's finished. It's all done. Everything's been done. All you have to do is receive it and believe it. And I'll give you the power to become a son of God. Now, I've been preaching for a long time. I still don't understand why. You ask me to explain why, the only thing I can say is because God loves us. Well, why did God love us? I have no idea why he loves us. He loves us. He says it over and over in the Bible. He loves us. And he sent Jesus to die in our place. And all you have to do to get your sin, sickness cured is to come to him. Amen. That's it. Nothing else. Just come to Christ. Come to him. Would you do that this morning? If you're here and you've never received Jesus, would you come to him? I know. It doesn't make any sense from a human perspective. Just like it didn't make any sense to Naaman when Elisha said, go jump in the dirty river and you'll be clean. It didn't make any sense. But it works. It works. There's scores of people in this room this morning. If I gave them time, they would stand and testify. It works. Works for me. It worked for me. I was a sinner deserving of hell, but I came to Christ and he forgave me, cleansed me from all my sins. He'll do the same for you. Would you come? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this story. It's a familiar story. We've heard it a lot, but the truth never gets old. The beauty of the story never gets old. The wonder of the story never gets old. About how an old leper in simple faith jumped in a dirty river and got clean. Father, I pray if there's people here this morning that are still dirty with their sin because they've never come to Christ, they would be like Naaman. They would exercise the faith, the measure of faith that you've dealt to every person. They would believe what the Bible says, that you love them, and that you sent Jesus to die in their place. And right now, right where they sat, they would believe that and receive Jesus as their Savior. I pray if they're doing that, in just a second when we stand and sing, they would come forward and share with us that decision they made. And maybe we could take the Bible and show them some verses in the Bible to back up everything that I've said this morning. So I pray you'd bless this invitation. I pray for Christians that are here. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be more like that little girl. Help us to forgive other people. Help us to point to a God that can still work miracles today. Still do what nobody else can do. Still work in ways that we cannot explain or understand. Help us to be like that little girl that pointed back to a God that still does the impossible. I pray again, Father, you bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.